One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Guys!
In a row?
Welcome to Nine Guys Dynasty Football, where we talk about the dynasty value of nine guys in a row. I'm Megan Mills. Thank you for checking us out. Nine Guys Dynasty is presented by Season Gap Fantasy Football. You can find the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the good ones. Wherever you listen to your pods, just search for Season Gap Fantasy. You can find our YouTube channel at JoeBlowFootballShow.com, and you can find us on social media at Season Gap FF. If you like what you see, you like what you hear, like and subscribe. It helps us out a lot. We really appreciate it. It's August, and the training camp news is coming in so fast and furious that Vin Diesel wants to make a cameo. Seriously, though, it's early August, and it already feels like we're about one injury from hell breaking loose as far as fantasy football and the dynasty community at large. So we better start doing these guys before it's too late. First up, we have Eno Benjamin, running back for the Arizona Cardinals. The former seventh-round pick finally might be ready to make some noise here headed into year three. He turned 23 on April 13th, and he's got 2 years left on his rookie deal. Here's the deal here. Whoever the Cardinals running back has been over the past two seasons has been someone you want to own in fantasy. James Conner is looking like everything's going to roll for him if he stays healthy. The problem is his name could really be James Conner if he stays healthy. I put the total games played at like 11 and a half or 12. Maybe you want to take the over on that, but I don't think you feel great about it. So I think one place you're going to want to target is that backup running position for the Cardinals. They did also sign former Chief Darrell Williams, but that's not a big investment there. He got a deal worth $1.2 million with about $900K guaranteed. Given the ratio of guaranteed money, you have to think he's probably going to make the roster, but I do not think he's in any way locked in ahead of Benjamin for that possible RB2 job. There is a chance that not only does he offer handcuff value, but Benjamin could offer some standalone value. The Cardinals could see fit to kind of scale back James Conner's touches a little bit more in an effort to keep him healthy, and that would allow Benjamin to come in and maybe take on that kind of Chase Edmonds role, so to speak. Look, this is a guy that's kind of a lottery ticket here. You can't be expecting a lot. I don't think there's any way I can sit here and be like, oh yeah, he's going to be a starting running back in the league for 3 years or something like that. I think there's a path to him being very fantasy relevant this season, and he's not that expensive to acquire. Again, if he's owned by the James Conner owner already, yeah, good luck. It's probably not going to happen unless you really want to pay for him. But if not, it's in a deeper league and he's just kind of in the back of someone's roster or something like that. I don't know, anywhere from like a late third to a mid fourth, a fourth and a player from the bottom of your roster, that kind of thing. If you need help at the running back position, especially if you own James Conner, I have no problem going out taking a chance here on the lottery ticket. That is Eno Benjamin. I mean, yeah, it's year three. Been doing this for a while. I'm going to have to admit I have a problem whether or not it works out. But, hey, you know, it worked out so well for Darwin Thompson, right? At number two, we have Zamir White, rookie running back for the Las Vegas Raiders. White looked very good in the Hall of Fame game to open the preseason. And the Raiders declined Josh Jacobs' fifth-year option. That leaves some opportunity in the Raiders' backfield both this year and going forward. The fourth-round pick turns 23 in September. Look, Josh McDaniels in charge here. He's a Belichick guy. Odds are heavily in favor of the Raiders using some kind of running back by committee. You could argue, is it a two-man 60-40? Are you looking like a everybody gets a third kind of deal? I mean, they're really going to insist on giving Brandon Bolden a couple of carries every game. Are they going to try to make Amir Abdullah happen? I mean, he's a fine special teams player and whatnot, but I think we could probably stop trying to make Amir Abdullah the running back happen. White looks like the best long-term bet in Vegas. And the problem is basically that he was drafted in the mid-second round of non-Superflex leagues, probably late second, early third of Superflex leagues. You're not going to be able to acquire him for any cheaper than that. So you're probably looking at a second and a player. I don't think there's any way I would be giving up a first for him. But again, you know, if I could package something I expect to be a late second with kind of a middling player, my wide receiver six or something like that, I would absolutely do that. I don't know that he's ever going to be a workhorse back or whatever, but that Raiders offense looks like it could really take a step forward. The Patriots always kept the running backs involved in the passing game. So I think it's really an arrow up situation for White, even if he's not going to be a workhorse. You know, think kind of something along the lines of a better version of Devin Singletary or something like that. Not incredibly sexy, but again, this is fantasy football. How many running backs are there that are going to be consistently producing for you year in, year out? You want to get kind of these young guys, try to get them while they're hot. And I think White is going to be a guy who consistently picks up value as the season goes on. Let's stick with the running back position for number three, where we have Isaiah Pacheco, running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. There has not been a lot of good buzz about the Kansas City running backs so far during training camp. CEH was on the pup for a minute. There was some negative pup there. All of a sudden, Ronald Jones isn't making the team. The only guy who's gotten some good buzz is Pacheco. As a seventh-round pick, he doesn't have a lot of draft capital. Still very young. Just turned 23 back in March. If I was trying to make Darwin Thompson happen, I'm still definitely trying to make Clyde Edwards-Helaire happen. But at this point, I have to admit, it's probably not going to. Its odds are there's going to be some kind of running back by committee situation here, even if he's healthy. They did sign Ronald Jones, but he's not really even a lock to make the roster, given that he was only guaranteed $750K at signing. And they have Jerick McKinnon as well, who popped a little bit in the playoffs, but given his injury history, he's more likely to kind of maybe be at the most the pass-catching specialist, which would definitely ding the value of everybody involved. But again, I don't think McKinnon's a guy you can count on to stay healthy throughout the year. Pacheco's got enough value in the return game that I think he makes the roster, even if he's the RB4, at which point you just kind of sit back and wait and see what happens. The Chiefs running back position has been hit hard by injuries over the past few years, and Andy Reid hasn't been afraid to kind of go with some of these later and unknown guys in Darrell Williams and Derek Gore and that kind of thing. So there's no reason that Pacheco couldn't play a bigger role, either A, if he earns it, or B, if, you know, invariably there are injuries ahead of him. And, you know, the real kicker would be if he played well enough for them to go ahead and cut Ronald Jones before the season. I don't think we get there. But again, Pacheco was basically an afterthought or a late round flyer in a lot of rookie drafts. If you're in a shallower league, he might not even have been drafted. I think that's pretty easy kind of lottery ticket status again here. I've seen him go for a late third, you know, late third 2023 pick. No problem with that. Seen him go for 2 fourths next year. Same thing. That's fine. You want to get a piece of that Chiefs offense. You need running back help. This is a way to do two of them. Yes, is it a lottery ticket? Absolutely. But could it pay off? The odds are better of him paying off, I think, than whoever you're probably going to get with that late third round pick or those 2 fourth round picks. So I think you'd want to take the chance here and hope that it works out and that this training camp buzz really builds into something tangible for the regular season and beyond. At number four, we have Khalil Herbert, running back for the Chicago Bears. A couple of months ago, it seemed that the Bears was kind of a job that was locked down by David Montgomery, and Khalil Herbert was just a handcuff, but it might be trending the other way. Herbert just turned 24 in April, going into his second year in the NFL. David Montgomery is in his walk year, has not gotten a contract extension, and most surprisingly, he's been practicing on special teams. He has never participated in special teams earlier in his NFL career, or even really in college that I remember. Look, Herbert showed when he played last year. Not only was he solid in the return game all year, when he got a chance to fill in for Montgomery, he was arguably better than Montgomery. The Bears are not going to be a great offense this year. I'm a Justin Fields guy. I think it could happen next year. What they have to do is not kill him this year. Keep him upright enough. Let him make some progress. I think Herbert could be a big part of that. Even if he's just splitting with Montgomery, I think he could be the one active on passing downs. Garbage time points count. He could be there in the fourth quarter, you know, catching 3-4 passes on that last drive. He's got the ability to take one to the house. And if the Bears do develop a little bit, they get a couple of guys in there, they make some moves next year. If he's even, you know, the better half of a committee back there, that could really be something for you in Dynasty. He's a guy I'm targeting. And even if you don't get him now, if the Bears offense starts out a little bit slow, it could make him even cheaper. Although that depends, if they do start out the season in a straight running back split, then his value is going to skyrocket. Looking around, I haven't really seen him done in a one-for-one deal or any kind of real Paula Abdul trade. I did see him go for a third, same kind of deal here. I'd probably, you know, pay basically any third that I wasn't expecting to maybe be the, you know, 301, 302 in a super flex or something like that for him. No problem throwing 2 fourths, fourth in a kind of low-end player, that kind of thing. You don't want to buy the Bears offense too much if you don't have to. But I think, again, if you're going to buy into an offense that you're either is really expensive or one you don't have high hopes for, do it on the cheap way. Don't shop at the top of the market. Go to the bin where the dented cans and shit and cop out of there.
That's good soup.
And number five, we have George Pickens, wide receiver for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's be honest here. Would it really surprise you if a wide receiver that the Steelers drafted in the second round winds up being, you know, really good? They seem to know what they're doing here. Pickens is a young blood, just turned 21 back in March. The rookie is already third on the depth chart, looks to be playing a role from Jump Street. The only reason he fell as far in the draft as he did was because of his torn ACL. The arrow is pointed way up here. Really, the only thing that could hold him back right now is the Steelers quarterback position. Mitchell Trubisky is not going to turn into Josh Allen or whatever you want him to do. Best case scenario, he's a competent quarterback. Kenny Pickett's still a third string, so you got to worry a little bit. But the Steelers are one of the best organizations in the league, and I trust that they're going to find a way forward at quarterback, whether he's on the roster or not already. Given the history, again, of this coaching staff, especially the last 10 years with the wide receivers, I love Pickens here. He was generally a second-round pick in most rookie drafts. Now I've seen him go for a first already. I don't think I'm dealing a first for him, again, with the quarterback position the way it is, but I would be cool with basically almost any second in a single quarterback league, any mid to late second, and a player in a super flex league. Yeah, I think this is a case, too, where you could try to take an older wide receiver. Could you say flip something like Amari Cooper and a third for Pickens and a second? I mean, that kind of thing sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. I just think that the arrow is pointed straight up here. The Steelers locked down Deontay Johnson. It's going to be a lot of single coverage going around there. Who knows what happens with Chase Claypool? Training camp reports have been through the roof. You never know how that works. You know, last year, Jamar Chase was a bum at training camp. So my guess is next year, we're sitting around going, man, how the hell did Pickens fall to the second round? And you can be saying that about the NFL draft or your dynasty rookie draft. So he's a strong buy here. At number six, we have another rookie wide receiver who's been getting a lot of training camp hype. That's Romeo Dubs, wide receiver out of Green Bay. Dude, somebody's got to catch passes over there. You can put Alan Lazard up as your wide receiver one all you want. I don't think I'm buying it. Dubs just turned 22 back in April. He was a fourth-round pick in a draft where the Packers did select three wide receivers. Again, you have Lazard on the depth chart, and then you have Sammy Watkins, Randall Cobb. I love Christian Watson as an idea, but he hasn't been out there in the field. And the longer that keeps going, the more you have to think that he's getting passed on the depth chart and might not make an impact until later in the season, if at all. Dubs is definitely getting some buzz here. He went nuts on fan night. I think the worst case scenario you're looking at here is maybe he's kind of the second coming of MVS, of Marquez Valdes-Scantling, in more of a one-dimensional boomer bust kind of guy. But again, there's opportunity on the Packers. Aaron Rodgers is coming off two MVPs. He's throwing the ball great. Somebody has to catch it. Price tag's going to be all over the board here. This is a guy who was drafted in the best case scenario in the third round of your rookie draft, maybe slid all the way down to the fifth or something like that. I've seen him get dealt for a second in one of my leagues. I believe that was an FFPC league. Also seen him go for a third and a player, and like a fourth and a player. Somewhere in there is the range of what it's going to take to get him. It all depends on your league, and especially as the owner of Packers fan, that's definitely going to add a premium or maybe make it impossible. But right now is the time to go out and get a guy like this, because the first time he does it in the preseason, the stock's just going to go up, especially if Watson continues to be sidelined. And for the record, I've also seen Dubs get traded for DJ Chark, Tyler Lockett, Ramondre Stevenson, and Calvin Ridley. So that kind of should give you an idea of the zone he might be living in right now. We're going to get a little bit older than we've gotten with these rookies and sophomores and talk about Isaiah McKenzie, wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills. The former fifth-round pick turned 27 back in April, and he just signed a two-year deal to remain in Buffalo with $1.25 million guaranteed at signing. Right now, he's theoretically competing with Jamison Crowder for the slot job. There's a decent chance that winds up being kind of a split thing. I've always liked Crowder, but he's really struggled to stay healthy the past couple of years, and McKenzie has a good history with Josh Allen. We saw him go nuts in Week 16 last year when he caught 11 to 12 targets, buck 25 in a TD at New England in a game that the Bills really needed to win. And the Bills have also used him in the red zone, in the green zone, giving him scoring opportunities the past couple of seasons. He was always a guy I liked to target in the DraftKings showdown slates. And the Bills aren't as deep at wide receiver as they were. There's no more Cole Beasley. There's no more Emmanuel Sanders. I don't think rookie's ready to play yet. So, you know, you got a four-man show. Maybe Gabe Davis is going to be the greatest wide receiver in the history of forever, like everyone thinks. And I'm not knocking Gabe Davis. It's just amazing, again, where the hype train is going. And McKenzie's a guy who just isn't a dynasty asset for the most part. He's probably on a roster in deeper leagues, probably not in shallow leagues. more or less, there's a little hype here, so you might have to throw a fourth round pick or something like that. But generally, I think he's a guy you could get for almost nothing. Again, access to that Bills offense on the cheap. You're not going to be able to start him every week, but if there's an injury or you're in a bye situation, the matchup looks good, something like that, I think you could deploy him a couple of times throughout the year. Could be valuable for you, especially if you're in a dynasty best ball league and or league where you own Josh Allen. Again, a lottery ticket won't cost you much, and it gives you access to what could be the highest scoring offense in the NFL potentially. At number eight, we're going to kind of split the difference here by talking about an old rookie. That's Velus Jones Jr., wide receiver for the Chicago Bears. He was a third round pick. And again, on the old side for a rookie, he already turned 25 back in May. He was not expected to be drafted as high as he was. The Bears are going to probably not score a lot of points this year. But again, he's got Darnell Mooney, Cole Kmet, and then question mark out there. Byron Pringle's already hurt. Equanimeous St. Brown is never going to be a thing. There is real opportunity here. As I said before, I do like Justin Fields. I don't know if he's going to be dominant or anything like that, but he's another guy that's not going to cost you anything. Went in like the fourth, fifth round, a lot of rookie drafts. He could even be cut if you're in a league like an FFPC league where you have to do more cutdowns. He's a nice guy to take a shot on. Again, as a 25-year-old rookie, you're not looking to get 3-4 years of production here. You could just maybe find he has a nice garbage time kind of year for a Bears team that doesn't have a lot of other options. He could break a couple of big ones. He looks like he's going to also have a role on special teams, so he'll get some touches no matter what. Again, not anybody I'm jumping up and down about, but why not if you're going to get access to an offense you don't expect a lot of? Don't spend a high price to do so. If he turns into something, great. Maybe the Bears get better next year. He can improve. You get a window where he's something for a couple of years. Or maybe you could flip him. Or again, worst case scenario, you just start him a couple of times this year. But maybe it's on that bye week. Maybe it's when you need him. Maybe you own Justin Fields and you're trying to stack it up a little bit. Again, another guy who probably fits a little bit nicer in a best ball format. But for a guy who's going to cost you, again, whatever your latest round pick is, basically damn near nothing, I think it's a guy I'd be taking a shot on here. Finally, at number nine, we have rookie tight end for the Tennessee Titans, Jacozim Okoko. Rookie tight ends are generally not something you want to invest in fantasy football, unless you have a Kyle Pitts-level prospect. I generally don't like spending at a premium pick there. You're usually going to have to sit on them for 2-3 years to wait till they could possibly be an every week starter. And even then, you think you're going to get there with someone like a Noah Fant or a Dawson Knox, and it always seems to be on the verge. So it's a position where I'm either trying to spend up and get one of those absolute top guys or keep accumulating a bunch of lottery tickets in the hopes that you hit on, say, the next George Kittle. Okoko kind of fits that mold. He's had a lot of good training camp buzz. He's on a Titans team. They're a veteran team, but they have basically nobody there who's going to get the ball right now. You have Robert Woods coming off an injury. You have Treylon Burks, the rookie. You have Austin Hooper, who's been more of a blocking tight end recently. Derrick Henry's not a huge part of the passing game. There is opportunity here. Again, I don't think he's going to come storming out the gates or anything, but this is a guy who could wind up being a serviceable streaming tight end towards the back half of the season. And who knows, maybe he has a connection with Blake Willis or Tannehill turns it around. Just turned 23 in September, fourth round pick, so he's got a little bit of draft capital. I think that there's a chance here that he becomes something. Another guy that it's going to cost you basically nothing to get. In tight end premium leagues, he might be on a roster. Other than that, he's probably not even rostered. You're going to have to evaluate in various leagues, given your roster size, if you have room to carry a developmental tight end, especially one who you, again, might have to cut at some point. But I think it's worth it here, man, especially if you're a rebuilding team that doesn't have much at the tight end position. Go ahead, throw a fourth and fifth or something out there. Try to get him on your roster. Hope that the Titans have a good year. He starts to play a role in, maybe the worst case scenario, you get another Jonnu Smith situation or something. That's obviously not the George Kittle level prospect you want to hit on with one of these later on tight end guys. But given the status of the position, unless you have one of those elite guys, I think you need to be trying to find whatever the next thing is, especially if it doesn't cost you a lot to try. And hell, even if you have one of the top guys, you should still probably be trying, assuming you have the roster spot here. So, don't be TLC. Chasing waterfalls, please stick to the rivers. That was it. That was nine guys in a row. Thank you for checking out Nine Guys Dynasty Football, presented by Seize the Cap Fantasy Football. Again, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the stuff, just search for Seize the Cap Fantasy on social media at Seize the Cap FF. We're from the Joe Blow Football Show. Find us at joeblowfootballshow.com. Brings you to our YouTube page. Would appreciate it if you could like, subscribe, follow, all that good shit. Thanks again for checking us out. We'll be back soon with nine more guys to do in a row.
I'm loving it.
Can I get the check?